We're in this section of Matthew, I think I mentioned, where it's discourse on community life. We've already begun it with the question of scandal, care for others, and then forgiveness. And now we move into states of life. And so we have these two, this discussion here. And then we move on to talk about children, and then wealth, and so forth. This incident is recounted by all three synoptics. Matthew may be the most complete. The Pharisees, as they say here, tempting him. That's what Satan does. Pirazon des afton. You know, they are trying to tempt him, either to make a mistake, or to lose his temper, or something. They are tempting him. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any cause whatever? Now look at our Lord's answer. Now, for these kinds of things, you have to let the words bring you into the very soul of Jesus and his vision. Remember, his human mind is divinely enlightened. He knows the will of the Father because he is equal to the Father. And it's a big mistake to take these words and then say, well, you know, this is the Son of God. This is God of God, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not made, through whom all things were made. This is the one addressing us. Now, you just see how important it is to pray and to fast and to enter into this mind of Jesus. What is he saying? He's saying, look at the way creation is made. Look at the way my Father created. From the beginning. That's his argument. From the beginning. In the beginning. God created. Right? From the beginning. Look at the very structure of human beings. Not just the structure of animals who are male and female, but human beings who are man and woman. Made them male and female and said, made human beings male and female and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife and the two shall become one flesh. One flesh means one entity. It's so hard when we don't have time, obviously, to... But the word flesh means family. For instance, there's a place in Leviticus 18 where there's this whole list of prohibitions of incest. And they all, for instance, a man should not approach the wife of his father because she is his father's flesh. Now, do you see how you have in your mind? You can't none of the translations will put that down because it's too hard to understand. But you've got to see, when you read it, get that. Because one flesh means this one reality now. A union of two human beings, out of which will come other human beings who are, by their nature, eternal. This union gives rise to eternal beings who must be nurtured and cared for and raised and provided for so that they know God and live their life in this world, even with its sufferings and so forth, so that they are prepared for eternal life. That's the point. You shatter that and you destroy human beings. Humanity passes through the family. Destroy the family, you destroy humanity. That's exactly what Satan is doing. This total ignorance and darkness regarding the reality and the beauty and the mystery of sexuality. And the result? Just look at where our youth are. Who's caring for them, huh? Therefore, what God has joined together, this applies to Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists and atheists, what God has joined together, man must not separate. So then they ask him, well, then how come Moses, I want to give you the exact wording here, then why did Moses command that the man give the woman a bill of divorce and dismiss her? Because of the hardness of your heart. All these laws about divorce, and there are very few actually in the Old Testament, are to protect the woman. That's what they're for. With the bill of divorce, she can marry again. It's to protect the woman. All those laws that God inspired. But, Jesus says, the era of hardness of heart is over. I'm here. I am here to inaugurate the kingdom. And there's no more divorce. You have whatever you need to be one flesh. Sometimes with human weakness and so forth, it doesn't work out, and the church is always trying to help. Understand? Preparation for marriage begins in the cradle. Not when, you know, the couple comes and talks to the priest a couple times and gets married and hopes for the best. This is a sacred, sacred reality. And I'm saying, pray that your mind enters into the mind of the Son of God. He's not just giving laws here. He's arguing from the very structure of creation. It wasn't so from the beginning. I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, and then there's this little text in Matthew, porneia, except for porneia, and we've just poured out oceans of ink trying to figure out. The clearest thing is, and we know this now from the Dead Sea Scrolls as well, it means a marriage of consanguinity, when the relationship is too close. Marriage oftentimes is to keep the money in the family and to provide heirs and so forth. Well, the closer the relationship, the more you keep it in the family. That's wrong. Wrong for many reasons. One of them being, a home has got to be a lust-free environment. People have to grow up knowing relationships that are not characterized by lust, so that they're human. They know love, they know generosity, they know friendship, they know affection. Then they know marriage. And that is not lust either. And then the last part. You know, in a lecture, it takes me 3 lectures to get through this, and so that's 6 hours. I promise I won't keep you here 6 hours. But you do have to have a vision, respect for Jesus. He's the Son of God, teaching us this about who we are and what marriage is. So the disciples say, well, boy, if that's the case with a man, it's better not to marry. I don't know why they draw that conclusion, but Jesus says about not marrying, not all can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been granted. It's a gift. It's a gift to begin to live now the way everybody lives in heaven. It's a gift. And it has to be a powerful gift to overcome the loneliness, the drives, the sexual drive. And, you know, it's a gift. It's a charism. Now they translate, I'm very unhappy with the translation, but anyway. Some are eunuchs, bluntly. It doesn't say incapable of marriage. It says eunuchs, because they were born so. And some are eunuchs because they're made so by others. And some make themselves eunuchs because of the kingdom, not just for the sake, but because the kingdom is available. Now why did Jesus use that phrase? In this culture, the most insulting thing you can say of somebody, a man, is that he's a eunuch. The most insulting thing you can say. Jesus didn't marry. He's a eunuch. They insulted him this way, I'm sure. And he said, Some make themselves eunuchs. You find that disgraceful? You want to insult us? But this is for the kingdom. This is for the kingdom. And I promise you that anyone who follows this, who accepts this gift when they have it and follows it, will have a joy and a freedom in this life and in the next if they will stay with me. And they will witness to the world man's true eternal destiny. It's an unbelievable privilege. Whoever can accept this ought to accept it. That's why when they ordain us, we first have to witness, I am aware that I have received the charism of celibacy and I accept it. Not being married isn't like some sort of penance that priests have to do before they can get ordained. It's witnessing, I have received this gift and I accept it. And I witness to the church that I know that I have accepted this gift and I know I have received it. And then, for all the years of his training, everybody else watches him to see whether he can really do it. That's the reason for formation. But it is the gift of freedom. So you see, though we have more and more time, pray not just about your own life, but about the church and about the whole human race. There's nothing more fundamental in us than our sexuality. We are man or woman. That defines us for eternity. Now, how do we live that? And then just look out the window and weep. Look what is happening.